Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome again here on Circles of Change. It's a real pleasure to welcome my in-studio guest, Lala Corriere, who's an author. Welcome to catching up, believe me, folks, during the quick break. Well, from an early childhood, Lala has been passionate about all the arts. She's a painter and former stage performer, and early work careers blended selling high-end real estate in Colorado as well as interior design in both commercial and residential settings. Her extended university coursework focused on the fine arts, but the lure and allure of writing was even stronger as she became a full-time, passionate, focused writer in 2001. A resident of Tucson and a self-proclaimed desert rat, Lala has published in regional magazines, newspapers, writers' guides, and journals, and she's been recognized with awards by her peers, as well as endorsed by long-term mentor, the late Sidney Sheldon. Lala writes suspense with romantic elements with original plots, and her in-depth character portrayals, rich scene settings, and the authentic dialogue all delivered with a fresh new voice. Going by the personal tagline of the mistress of suspense, she enjoys offering vivid descriptions of the most nefarious of characters, but, you know, she also insists on including a redeeming social message in her work. Lala brings readers to experience human conditions in ways that may not be familiar, and her newest novel, Widow's Row, was released in November 2010, and coming up next month is Cover Boy.
This spring.
This spring, exactly. Okay, you had this month,
cover
but this.
This
spring. Cover this, great. Well, mid-career change. How'd you make that shift and what prompted it?
Well, I know that the author Sarah was just on your show,
yes,
with Sarah, Simple Abundance.
Exactly, Sarah
Von
Braunich.
I will tell you, I was in my 40s. I definitely had empty nest syndrome. I was playing golf and I was playing bridge and lukewarm about my interior design and real estate. And I absolutely am going to sell more Simple Abundance today than my own book, but she helped me center on finding my authentic self, and I stumbled upon it, and suddenly, I mean, my husband came home one night, and I was surrounded by writing books and courses and workshops and conferences, and it was just with alacrity that I jumped into writing, and I found my home. I found my purpose. And for me to be kind of a gadabout social butterfly, which people think I am, you have to have so much discipline to sit behind your computer in your jammies all day.
All day long.
And I do. I do it with a passion, and I found my home.
Well,
and I really attribute it to Simple Abundance.
Isn't that lovely book? In fact, just a quick recap for those of you who don't know, that was a book that Sarah Von Braunich wrote in 1995. It has sold over 7 million copies. She just released her second book. I still have the original copy on my bedside stand, and you do as well, right?
I do, and mine is as tattered as yours.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's followed me everywhere I went. But I think that something our listeners should know, Lala, is that besides commercial real estate and interior design and so on, that you and your husband also raised three very successful sons. So it isn't,
yes,
like she has been just skating through,
and
so to speak.
And my 32-year-old son just moved down to Tucson in with us.
I love it.
So,
oh, there you go.
Oh, here we go. We're full.
Your full house. Well, the idea then of immersing yourself or turning towards, probably what I'm guessing, you have a very strong motivated ability about learning. So that
absolutely,
on your own, dove into, so what's it like to be a writer? You had the calling, but you necessarily didn't know if you were yet ready,
tools,
equipped.
I had none of the tools, but again, it is, the tools are there. And you, on your last segment, spoke about giving without necessarily reciprocity.
Right.
And I am overwhelmed with the people that are out there that are willing to share their stories. Sidney Sheldon is definitely one of them, and he's one of the biggest. But people like Tim Hallahan, they're on social networks, and they're ready to share their advice and their stories. And Sidney Sheldon was the one, you have to find your original voice. Well, what does that mean? I had no idea what that meant. But he was the one that inspired me. Break the soft, but then break the rules and find that authentic self. And
well, particularly those of you who are, we shouldn't go there. I think those of you who are writing fiction,
right,
that's definitely a must. But, you know, quite frankly, those of us that are writing nonfiction, whether it be business-related book or self-help,
right,
or chronologically,
right,
history or whatever, you still have to find your own voice, don't you?
You do have to find your own voice. And I have done nonfiction. I love personality profiles where I interview real people, but I like to be able to lie and make stuff up. So the trick is remembering your lies. In fact,
I think your tagline for Widow's Row was there's freedom of truth before the last liar dies. So there's this role about the liar here in the mix.
Yeah, there is. And if you read today's Simple Abundance, it was very fun for me to read. It was about the authentic archaeologist. Mm-hmm. And along the journey of being a writer, and especially in fiction, I knew I wanted to write suspense. Digging into this archaeologist, it's not just our background, how we were raised, but it's about really not necessarily what happened, but what do you remember? Why do you remember it? And really, how do you remember it? Because it may not be exactly the same. And my mom was the true original Agatha Christie reader. And my father is one of the most spiritual men on this earth. He's pursued every religion and background and goodness. And there I was, and suddenly I realized I want to write suspense, but I need that redeeming quality.
So you're right in the space between your two parents.
I hope I do. That's what I achieved to do. Yeah.
So you say, I knew I wanted to write suspense.
Right.
Were it those seeds of watching your mother's joy of all that
probably
reading, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think I can say it on the air. I was the first little girl that hid Erica Jong's Fear of Flying in my mattresses. You know, that wasn't exactly suspense, but, you know, I mean, definitely with my mom reading Agatha Christie and Mary Higgins Clark. And I just, I love that. And I love the part at the end where I just said, you have to lie, and I have to tie up all those lies and make sure I remember them. And it's so fun.
I think you're right, because usually good suspense novels, you can feel the pace quickening and your heart beating when you get to the last chapter or five pages. Then, of course, the phone rings or your kids come in.
Leave me alone.
I'm trying to get there.
Yeah, my husband Chuck, he knows that, you know. I borrowed his Jeep the other day, and he hopped back in it, and on the CD track was 101 Way to Kill People. So, you know, there's a little give and take and support and time. When I have on my little hat, they know stay away.
That's exactly right. So as a writer, your office is in your home. Do you find yourself, though, needing to go to other venues to maintain your creativity,
well,
to write other places?
Again, as you just discussed, definitely the social networking is key. Staying involved with writers group. Oh my gosh, there's a fantastic mystery writers group right here in Tucson. Staying involved, connecting with people. Yes, you know, you need to keep your social skills up, but you do not work unless you're sitting alone, sometimes in my jammies, and, you know, you're in your little world. And luckily, I'm afforded the opportunity. I have bad insomnia, but I'm very lucky. I can get up and work at 2 in the morning, and you'll get Facebook messages from me at 2:30, checking in.
That's
and no
right.
one's there.
Exactly, because that's the cycle you've learned to embrace.
Yes.
I had the opportunity. I was on a flight, a long flight, and lo and behold, discovered that the gentleman sitting next to me was none other than Andrew Greeley.
And
of course, he was flying between Chicago and Tucson. Tucsonans know Father Greeley as one who actually taught a class, God in the Movies, at the University of Arizona, as well as his novels have caught many a scourge and a eyebrow up amongst religious individuals, particularly those of us that are Roman Catholic. But nonetheless, when I asked him, you know, what's the source of your stories and where you come from with your novels, and he said, quite frankly, I'm an insomniac, like you said, and when I'm not, I'm actually dreaming in periodic ferocious nightmares. And the nightmares are all about these voices that are welling out of him.
Yeah.
Where do your characters come from?
I don't know. I can tell you that much of my great feedback has been on my character development. And There's simple things you'll see on the internet. Do a character interview, you know, ask them what school they went to and what their background was and get to know your characters. But I will get to a point where I dream them. They're not always nightmares, but they keep me awake. And I just heard an interview with Dean Koontz, and he said, you know, you can have the perfect plot, but sometimes your characters are going to tell you, we're going over that way. And you do. You follow those characters and you tell their story, and my ideas are crazy. So,
well, let's go to your new book then that came out last November. That's available on Amazon.com, and you can also go to Lala's site, which is LalaCorriere.com or widowsrow.com, correct?
Yes.
And she even has a YouTube up there that's going to catch your fancy and wet your whistle about the book. Tell us a little bit about the story without divulging any of the real good stuff.
I cannot tell you the secrets, but I will tell you it's about a successful D.C. attorney, Bricey LeMay, somewhat estranged from her father, and her father has a stroke. Her father lives in the little town of Trinidad, Colorado. So Bricey flies there to tend to her father, and she's at his house alone. She walks up an old staircase, and she realizes her father's old trick of hiding a safe in the staircase. She opens it up, and she finds what has to be the exact weapon that killed her mother. That sets the stage. It is one of the things that I've told you I've struggled with was, you get in front of some of these New York publishing and agents and editors, and they were not going to buy that. A subplot, the message to my plot is an introduction to GRS, gender reassignment surgery. Now, little tiny Trinidad, Colorado is an actual town, and it is the mecca of sex change capital in the world. Now, gender reassignment, they now call that. Mm-hmm. Dr. Biber, I met him, his staff, and there was not a single New York agent that was going to accept that could be possible in a little tiny Trinidad town. It was very fun to incorporate that, and again, that's part of that message to send out. You know, let's learn about these people, and they're good people, and they're going through struggle, and embrace them and see what that's like in the town. We visited Trinidad often, and so you'll get a little bit of insight to worlds maybe you are not aware of.
And again, that's part of the mission
that's
of your
of
service. And you said earlier in our discussion here, that comes from your father most likely.
I think a lot of that does. And those suspense and dirty tricks come from my mom.
My mom, exactly.
Yes.
So they're smiling there with absolute glee. Well, so the decision you made then to self-publish. Tell us about that
journey. I do have a small boutique publisher, but my opinion... And this goes back to what you said, collective wisdom. You know, I really knew that I had the skill and the art background. I had people at the very final stages. First of all, they held up my manuscript for 2 full years. That's on a submission. Thank you. An exclusive submission. Mm-hmm. And you cannot take it anywhere else. They tie it up for 2 years while they're telling me I'm in the wrong city, which mm-hmm. I'm not. I knew I could do the cover work. I knew what I wanted. I knew what the title should be. And I was not about to change the title. Then my group, my collective wisdom team, came together. They were two very astute businessmen. One is my husband. Another is a very well-known, respected businessman here in Tucson. I have a VIP of an international marketing company, and we are about the architects of change.
That's right.
And they finally pushed me over and said, get with it on the... the name is evolving, but it's really known as DTP, the Digital Text Platform Publishing.
Exactly.
And with all of the collective wisdom and the teams behind me, any new author is going to have to do all of their marketing on their own anyway. And, yeah, it absolutely, and I never regret it. I can't say that my sales are... extreme, but they're shocking.
I think the other idea, though, is this is about building momentum.
It
and
is
in
about.
This digital world, you never know which one of the 15 dominoes that you've stood up
you
is going to cause the
know.
Ripple effect.
And it's so fun. And again, for your listeners, whatever it is, you find that authentic self and you be true to it. And for me, the joy of having strangers email me and ask me, when is my next one coming out? It is so overwhelming. It's just awesome. And again, no matter what you do, if you're a gardener, if you're a stay-at-home mom, just doing what you love. There was an old book a long time ago, Do What You Love and Your Money, The Money Will Follow.
Exactly.
It's
yes, from the 1940s, in fact. That's quite an old one, I believe. Yeah, exactly. So the wisdom doesn't change over the ages with regard to that one.
No, it does not.
So I think you could see, and my guess is, again, since I'm a student of really teasing out people's motivated abilities and what's driven them in the course of their life, is that my guess is you've always gone it alone pretty strongly in your previous careers, too.
I have, and I had to.
Not being totally possessive, I mean, but that you knew how to surround people.
Although I'm pretty, I pretty much have my own mind made up. I'm
in
pretty
charge.
Stubborn, my husband would say. But yes, I had to go back and find that person, because in all my careers, yes, I did it on my own, and I knew I could do it. And I decided nobody will baby me and take as much care of my career as me and my team I surrounded myself with.
And, you know, I'd like our listeners to hear that again, that no one can be better in charge of my career than me.
That's exactly right.
And you care the most. And
I care, I wish others would, but I care the most about me.
Yeah, and you know, I think there's nothing wrong with that at all. Some might say, well, that's self-centered, egotistical. But in truth, the days that people would walk into companies or careers or fields and think that someone else has got the magic book,
that's
or
right.
the step-by-step process to get there, wherever there is, quite frankly, the path to success, particularly if you equate it with fulfillment, meaning true happiness and joy,
yes.
is something different for everyone. And
that's
that at
right.
the end of the day, you have to take charge. It's interesting you should bring that up. I just came back from a week with a client teaching a seminar called Career Coaching for Career Development. And the whole message behind it, was to 150 supervisors of people, was your job first and foremost is to get your employees in the driver's seat to take charge of their own career.
Correct.
And for people, they looked at us like we had three heads, like, really? It never dawned on us. But the more you work with that, and of course, here you were, some might say you were victimized by a system and not allowing your work to be published.
Some would say that.
But in truth, it was probably the biggest roadblock that gave you then the justifiable signpost to go in a different direction.
It absolutely did. It absolutely did. Uh-huh. And I'm happy. You look back and you thank God for the thorns.
The thorns, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I've also heard, though, that many people that proceed to publish, whether that be self-publish or through the conventional means, mm-hmm. to learn this, the art of rejection.
It's not fun.
I like that gasp.
I take it not so well. You know, one of my favorite quotes is a song, Johnny Mathis song. It says, what a writer has to feel like when suddenly he's discovered he's been read. And I was 14 or 15 years old when that nailed my heart. And it's true. Not everybody likes Widow's Row. Not everybody's going to like my writing style or my original voice. They're going to correct me on my English and my grammar. And I'm saying, that's the way I write. That is my voice. It's a rejection. Yeah, not everybody's going to like a Picasso.
That's
and
right.
I'm not equating myself to Picasso, but not every it's my
arts.
Story and I love it and I get enough good feedback and I know it's good, then run with it. And is it about the money? Yes, sure. Is it about recognition and word of mouth? Yes, sure. But it's about me and it's about self-respect and following what you want to do.
Now, that's interesting you said self-respect.
Self-respect is
so
big.
In truth, if you don't follow that belief,
right,
that you really are disrespecting the gifts that you have or the life that you've led up until now.
Oh, I had a very big publisher that told me that my book was great, but I needed, I don't remember exactly, 10 to 12% more romance in to make it work. I'm like, what? There, and I go back to Sidney Sheldon. Break the rules. Break the rules. Do what you want to write. It's, you know, you have to listen to yourself and you have to respect your work.
Yeah, that's right. Well, tell me, so you've got a second novel coming up this spring.
I do, and it's going to be just as fun. It's called Cover Boy, and it's a young woman who operates an in-your-face successful glossy magazine, which is probably not a dichotomy right now. And in part of that, she's telling stories that people are afraid to tell, and that's part of my redeeming social message, getting the word out about these young women that are cutting off their toes to fit into Manano Blahnik shoes. And it's very fun. And the tagline on that one is, "He prays for prey, and his prayers have just been answered." We have another nefarious person in there.
There we go. And that's that time with suspense.
Yes.
Your time before you started working on these types of novels, though,
right,
and your other character interviews that you did, or your regional writings,
right,
did you always feel like there was that voice in your head saying, but I want you to write these novels, but I want you to write?
Always. Yeah. And I'd already actually been working on some. I have a couple manuscripts in a drawer that, you know, I was doing those. But I do like being out with the people and interviewing, but I like my lies.
Like my lies.
Yes, I do.
You also said something I think that's really important. Of course, we talk about it a lot on this show, is that part of your own growth and development has involved your helping others. So
yes.
You give a lot to other writer circles.
Absolutely.
And anything come to mind, a recent encounter with a younger writer or something more inexperienced?
I did handle my own video, and it's not the most perfect video trailer for the book. Widow's Row, and it again is on YouTube. There are a couple of mistakes on there, and I'm a perfectionist, but I get... I just did a blog. People asked me to guest blog, and I gave them some things they can't find on the internet, the real nuances that they're not going to read anywhere. People ask silly newbie questions, but the whole community, everyone, Tim Hallahan will write you back and tell you, do this, do that. It's giving back. It's giving and not really expecting anything back, but pay it forward.
Absolutely, pay it forward. Well, we've got the Tucson Festival of Books, of course, coming up here on March 12th and 13th, and there's no better forum for those who are listening to take an opportunity to come down to the University of Arizona. And it isn't just what's on the mall, but, of course, the countless lectures and appearances by people.
Fantastic. I will be at the Foothills Mall, I think it's next Saturday, just kind of with the pre-sales information and stuff. So check my booth out in front of Barnes & Noble.
That's wonderful. Well, great. So what's been the reaction so far to your book? What kind of comments are you getting?
The reaction, the most fabulous is, again, my characters, and that is fantastic. The fantastic is strangers saying, are you working on another
book?
And I'm working as fast as I can. So
now, do you ever have to cross family lines? So, I mean, are your sons ever say, Mom, that sounds too much like me?
Oh, my gosh. My mother was the worst when I used bad words. she would read my work, and, do you really have to use that word? Well, yes, if the character says that, then I'm going to use that word, mom. And so, I'm sure a couple of my sons have been a little embarrassed.
But so far, you've not picked up on any of them as characters?
There might be bits and pieces, but I would not say.
You would not say. That's right. This is the secret.
You'll be next.
I know. I'm certain I will be. Well, us redheads have to stick together, by the way.
Okay, that's right.
There we go. We do. Well, again, this has been Circles of Change. My guest for this half an hour has been Lala Corriere. Do go visit her site, widowsrow.com, or lalacorriere.com, Widow's Row, and then watch her cover, boy. So thanks a lot. Congratulations on your venture, and we'll continue to watch your progress.
Thank you, Zara. My pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.